Our next presenter is Dr. Eleni Tolma. Dr. Tolma is an associate professor at the Department of Health Promotion Sciences, College of Public Health, University of Oklahoma Health Science Center. She's been involved in the area of breast cancer research since 1999, and she continues to work in this area, particularly focusing on American Indian women. Today she's going to talk, the title of her talk is Breast Cancer Fatalism and Its Role in the Prediction of Past Mammography Experience Among American Indian Women in Oklahoma.
Hi. Okay. Thank you for coming today. Can you hear me? It's okay? I have no financial disclosures, personal relationships disclosed. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors for this study, Dr. Stone and Ms. Lee and Dr. Engelman. And there are many other researchers and community members who have worked on this project since 2005. But for this particular study, I would like to acknowledge my closest co-investigators. Also, I would like to acknowledge the Native American tribe that trusted me and supported me the last 8 years to work on this project. And per their request, I cannot reveal the name of the tribe. I also would like to acknowledge the various funders who funded me for this project, as well as the in-kind contribution of various faculty and students at the Oklahoma Health Science Center who helped me keep the project alive when there were gaps in the funding. During the funding processes, there is no doubt that American Indian, that breast cancer is an important public health issue among the American Indian and Alaska Native women. And based on the most recent births data, American Indian and Alaska Native women have the lowest up-to-date mammography screening rates. It's also a public health issue in Oklahoma. Oklahoma ranks among the lowest states when it comes to up-to-date screening mammograms. I'm sure you all know what cancer fatalism is. This is a nice definition that I found by Dr. Hall and her team. But it's also important to think about why cancer fatalism, you know, what's the significance of it. When women perceive that cancer is a death sentence, they're less likely to get mammograms. And then, so if breast cancer is found, usually it's a late-stage diagnosis, which leads to more clinical, severe clinical outcomes and less options for treatment. In order to better understand cancer fatalism, we need to understand the relationship between poverty and cancer. And there is a strong relationship there. Women who are poor, they're less likely to care about getting screening mammograms because all they care about is how to survive on a daily basis. Also, poor women are less likely to trust the healthcare system or have access to healthcare services. Also, there are barriers to cancer treatment because a woman might think, what's the point of getting a mammogram if I have no money for treatment? And also, we have to also acknowledge the relationship of the historical traumas or social oppression with cancer fatalism, which leads, based on historical events in the past, which leads to social despair, which is a fertile ground to develop fatalism. When it comes to breast cancer fatalism, there are a lot of different factors that interact to form breast cancer factors, and I'm not going to read all these, but you can see them on the slide. And when it comes to breast cancer fatalism among American Indian women, there are very few studies that actually examine this construct within the American Indian community. Most of the studies were done with with African American communities. However, based on one study by Dr. Burhastinabov, we've seen that American Indian women stated that breast cancer is seen as a deadly as well as an untreatable disease. So my study, which is again part of the larger study, is trying to fill this research gap to identify what are the factors that relate to breast cancer fatal in some American Indian women. And then not only that, go one step further to identify what role the breast cancer fatalism plays in the prediction of past mammography among American Indian women. As I said, the study started back in 2005, and I used a very similar framework that Dr. Frank used. At the time, we didn't call it whatever you call it. I just used it, I call it integrated or expanded theoretical framework of the theory of plant behavior, and these are the different theories that I used and some additional constructs. And here is how the framework looks like. And you can see it highlighted fatalisms, and based on the hypothesis of the study, which I'm not going to go in depth right now, fatalisms predicts intention, which then predicts behavior and mammography behavior, future mammography behavior. In this study, we look at the relationship of fatalisms with past mammography behavior. So the study took place at the tribal clinic in rural Oklahoma. The women who participated were 40 to 70 years old. They're all patients in the clinic. None of them had any previous history of breast cancer, and none of them were employees of the clinic. And the study has been approved by the Institutional Review Board of the OU Health Science Center. The study is assessed back in 2005, and it has six phases. Now we're in the sixth phase. We started with the qualitative research. We've done a lot of interviews. And based on the comments of the women we received, we developed the survey. Now, the scope of the study was to identify what motivates or deters American Indian women from getting a mammogram. We did two points of data collection. Overall, we have 255 women participating in the study. We used a random sample. And in January, we merged the data sets. We've done the data analysis. Also, would like to say that we work very closely with the American Indian tribe. We have a steering committee all the way. We still have a steering committee, different people, but we always work very closely with the tribe that guides us through the research process. And I think that's one reason that we're able to hold on to this project for so long, even with no funding. And here are some of the measures of the survey. We call it Women's Health Survey. I'm not going to read everything, but you can read it on your own because we don't have much time. And here are the cognitive measures, again, based on the integrated model of the theory of plant behavior. And this is after the factor analysis. You can see the subscales. And so you can see the items that that they measure every subscale. And here is the other half. And what's very important to say, again, this is all product of qualitative research. Very few scales were actually borrowed from other researchers. So this is the this is how we measure breast cancer fatalisms. You can see it has five items. This is adopted scale from the PAH fatalisms model. Dr. PAH used a larger scale on breast cancer, on colorectal cancer. And after we did pre-testing and factor analysis, we ended up with five items, and the Cronbach sulfide was very strong, was 0.74. And this is the other variable, the outcome variable that we used, the regular mammography variable. When was the last time you had a screening mammogram? And here are the responses, and during the analysis, we actually converted the categorical variable to the dichotomous variable by collapsing the responses of the answers to the two first responses, and so we had the response was having a regular mammogram within the last 2 years, and the other category was grouped together, was labeled as not having a regular mammogram. So, and here are the other scales, and again, you can see the Cronbach alpha were pretty high, and we're pretty happy because, again, these are all original scales, and if the instrument is not reliable, you cannot use it for analysis. So we will make sure that the instrument was reliable. And here is the analysis we've done. Besides a descriptive analysis, we also have done univariate analysis. And based on what was appropriate, we used t-test, two chi-squares, ANOVA. And also we measure the association between continuous measures by using the Spearman's correlation coefficient. Also we've done multivariate logistic regression analysis when we use the past behavior as the outcome variable, and also multivariate linear regression analysis when we use the breast cancer fatal limbs as the outcome variable. And here some from demographics, the results of demographics. Again, the sample size from the two data sets was 255. We had a nice diverse sample. One thing I can indicate here is that only 59% of the women had the private health insurance. Here is more information about the clinical behavioral history of the woman. Two things I will try to emphasize. When we ask women how long does it take for them to drive to get a mammogram, 41% said it takes them 30 minutes to an hour one way, and that's because there is no mammography equipment in the clinic. And the other thing that was interesting, 54% of the women stated that they get an annual clinical breast examination by a physician. And here is the descriptive analysis of the cognitive variables. You can read the slide by yourself. I'm just going to emphasize a few things. If you look at fatal limbs, the mean score was 12.52 in a range of 5 to 25, which means that there was definitely a variation within the fatal limb score. Also, another interesting finding was the mean score for the strength of cultural affiliation was 1.25 in a range of 0 to 3.64, which indicates that this sample of women were not very traditional when it comes to the native identity. And also the last thing I would like to point out was the knowledge was close to 3, the mean score, in a range of 0 to 5, which shows that the women are not very highly knowledgeable about mammography screening. Oops, sorry. And also, two-thirds of the participants reported that they had a screening mammogram during the last 2 years, which is very much in line with the national stats that I gave you earlier. And I'm going to go straight to the multivariate analysis. There's no reason to go to the bivariate analysis because we don't have time. But you can see here, what was kept in the model. We used breast cancer fatal limbs as the independent variable. So in lay language, what does that mean? That fatal limb scores are higher among participants with higher scores of perceived susceptibility to breast cancer, and also higher scores in negative attitude towards mammography. On the other hand, fatal limb scores were lower among women with higher scores in knowledge of mammography screening, and women who had more positive attitude towards mammograms. And here is the other model, when we did the multivariate analysis by using the past behavior as an independent variable. You can look at the table by yourselves, but one thing I will point out that the fatal limbs remain in the model, and the odds ratio was 0.90. So what does that mean? Again, another interpretation of the table is that the odds of having past mammography within the last 2 years were higher for women who are more likely to be influenced by their physician, or more knowledge about mammography, had a family history of breast cancer, and if I remember correct, the odds ratio almost was 10, and had more frequent professional breast examinations. And the odds were lower for the women who are more culturally affiliated, who have higher fatalistic attitudes, and who had perceived behavioral control barrier scores. So what is the conclusion? One of the conclusions we can tell is that breast cancer fatal limbs does exist among American Indian communities. Even in 2013, even in a sample of women who their traditionality was low. So it's a construct, it's a belief, it's a perception that still exists. And then the rest of the conclusions are very much in line with the results that I presented earlier. When it comes to regular mammograms, again, women, American Indian women who perceive less barriers towards mammography, who are more knowledgeable, have a recommendation by their physician to get a mammogram, who are less culturally affiliated, who are less fatalistic, and who get more frequent professional breast exams, are more likely to get mammograms. So what are the implications for practice? Obviously, breast cancer failings is a complex cultural belief. It's not something that is formed, you know, in last year. It's formed from many generations. So it's very difficult to uproot such a belief within a 3-year or 5-year project. So we need to be very pragmatic, and we need to address maybe the modifier factors if we want to make some change. And one way to do it is to promote knowledge about mammography screening based, again, on the study and others' previous results, and develop positive communication messages promoting positive attitudes. Another thing that we're trying to do is to focus on the younger generation of American Indian women, and through combination of traditional story and also the Freire methodology of raising consciousness through cultural circles, try to have breast cancer survivors, Native American women, to talk about their stories and use the story as a code for self-reflection and group reflection, and hopefully that will spark something in the community to help reduce this fatal limbs, which, you know, this is just the beginning. It's not going to happen overnight. And also there is implications for the clinicians, and that's again supported by the literature, but this is one of the first time we've seen this within the American Indian community. The physicians and other medical personnel can be gatekeepers and reducing federalistic attitudes by conducting one-on-one conversations with their patients on mammography screening and, of course, promoting clinical breast exams. Implications for research, the first bullet, we're already doing that. We're already using the results of this study as well as other results we've done, data analysis and qualitative research we've done. We tried to design, pilot, and evaluate an intervention addressing breast cancer fatty limbs and among American Indian women. And also there's a lot of room for further qualitative research from other researchers to deconstruct what I call the concept of breast cancer fatty limbs. And there's so many other questions like I have there, you know, what's the connection with spirituality, traditional healing, what's the role of the elders in framing breast cancer freedom? So there is a lot of room for more exploration. And limitations, even though we use a random sample, the results of the study cannot be generalized of all Native American communities in the U.S., or even across Oklahoma, because there's so much diversity from one Native American community to the other. However, the results can be used to build interventions in other Native American communities in the region which share similar socioeconomic characteristics. Okay, thank you.